the subject that I want to talk about today, unnamed. What are you holding on to? We're going to talk about some moments that every person goes through in their life. If you didn't learn this principle that I'm going to be talking about today, you're not going to go far. Your service will not go far. You as a personality, you will not reach your full potential and do something big in your life. I'm not talking about grow some children, get a business, marry your children and get your children married and help your grandchildren. No, when you leave this life, something's going to be left behind after you. Someone will say, glory to God for the life of this man or woman or this pastor or this leader, because there was something done in my life through his service. That's why we need to discuss these things, and I want a couple of moments and principles to be understood. Today we're going to talk about principles in which a massive majority of the Christians live in, and they're waiting for a breakthrough in their life and don't receive anything because God has a principle on which his kingdom runs by, but the devil's made us so ignorant that we hold on to the old and the past, will not receive anything better and newer. I want to share with you principles that I live in by. And people always ask me a question. Can you tell me what's your step from a regular pastor to a supernatural service where something starts to change and lives start to change. Something starts happening in the destinies of people who allow one word to change them. Where was this little break? What happened? Church, do you want to know? I think we're grown enough to where we can share these principles, but it's going to depend on you, on the results and your exodus. I can share the principles, but each one of you must use it. And I'll tell you what I normally teach. These are not easy things that you just go to sleep and you wake up and, oh, hallelujah, that's it. Everything changed in your life. You got to do something. Personally, yourself, something's got to happen in order for that breakthrough moment to happen. You go from the sphere of natural sphere where nobody knows you and doesn't want to know you, where you sometimes don't want to hear your own self, into a sphere where you're going to be so needed that you're not even going to have enough time to give all to all those who need you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And today I want to share these principles. And my sermon is called simply, what are you holding on to? What we watch today around, explain to me. Why does a person hate his own job and keeps working there for years? Can somebody just think in their head and give me an answer? What's keeping the person in a terrible job that he hates and every day goes back home, curses that day that he filled out that application and when they hired him to that job? Tell him, what is making him keep raising up 5 or 6 in the morning, getting his car and going back to the same place? Honestly, I'll tell you, I don't understand these people. If you're one of those, then this sermon is definitely for you. I'll seriously tell you, we are those people who build our own future. So how can you allow things in your life to build your life? We have the mentality of a slave. who doesn't allow us to think freely and live freely and move forward. Job is one thing. Okay, let's keep moving. Why does a woman, if, for example, her husband is beating her and abusing her for years, what's making her to continue living with this person? Church, tell me. Honestly, I'll tell you, I can't even understand this. I understand you'll say, and we're believers. We have to go through everything. We got to carry out everything. We got to get hit in the neck. And yeah, get kicked. I don't understand what you're talking about. This is my life. I want to live normally. Amen, church? I want to live happy. So, out of where did this come from? The woman, till this day, she allows this guy to destroy her destiny. Explain to me. Well, he's my husband. What God has married together, the man cannot separate. Did God marry you, or you just got married on accident? Let's put a question mark on all things. Honestly, I'll tell you, I'm not here to play games and to tell you religious jokes. I like honesty. Today, we're going to talk and be a little more honest. What's keeping this woman to continue living in this family? You know, my mom dealt with this real quick. As soon as she received a couple of fists in her face from my dad, it was a sad picture. She's about this tall. He's about that tall. Over 6 foot, whatever. When this man put his hands on her and start beating her and doing what he wanted to do, one wonderful moment, I was watching one picture. I was really little. I just remember this picture. There's daddy, and there's mom on the couch with a broomstick. And she's hitting him so hard that his skin is coming off of his back. I don't understand. What is this? This says that this woman does not want to abuse in her own house. She couldn't get him with her fist, so she had to get on the couch and use a broomstick to beat her. I got in there. I was like, whoa, they got some drama going on up in here. After this, daddy took all his stuff and he took all his stuff and left so far. We could only receive letters from him. I'll tell you honestly, what's being a believer got to do with anything? You live your life, amen? And you got to live it happily. And nobody has the right to rape your destiny. Amen, church? Huh. Interesting. You know, I just warming up. This isn't the subject yet. I'm just telling you principles. What's keeping? Okay, my mom was a little smarter, and she dealt with her destiny. And she said, I'd rather live alone happily than together and die every day. That's why, my beloved ones, we don't need to draw pictures and tell somebody fairy tales and read some religious stuff out of the Bible. Or religiously read stuff out of the Bible. I'm not about religion today. I'm about God. So what is keeping a person for tens of years to continue going to the same churches where there's no miracles, there's no life, there's no fire, no glory of God, no deliverance, no healing? What is making these people continue going to a church where you don't see nothing, you don't receive nothing, you're just sleeping at every service? And someday you got to honestly ask yourself the honest question, what am I doing in this place? Is my whole destiny going to be in this place? what's keeping me to continue to go there? You don't want this. You want some better. You want some big. You want some huge. You want some from God. Remember, we're the builders of our destiny. We are the builders of our own destiny. You live where you want to live. Yeah, some people are moved by the prophets throughout America from place to place. You want to live where you want to live. And you live where you want to live. You get your stuff. You get yourself on an airplane or you rent a car or and you move to a state that you like where you want to live. And this means that you build your destiny. You allow the laws of that state to because you're the builder of your destiny. I'll tell you what makes people do these things. What makes people continue to do these things? I'll tell you. We are afraid to lose what we have. And at the same time, we destroy our future. My beloved ones, I'll tell you honestly. You know what keeps a woman to live with? She's afraid that she's going to lose what she has, and it could be worse. Do you understand me? People do not leave these churches, these dead churches where there's nothing good except a good night, good nap. And it's not a joke. What keeps them to continue to do that? Because they're afraid that if they leave, that they're going to lose this. What are people going to say now? And is there even something better, other than this? There is something other than that. Amen, church? There is a different God. You just got to find Him, and that's it. Get out of your whatever the place you're in and seek Him. We're afraid to lose what we have. In exchange for what we don't even have. So in order for you to receive a lot more, the principle has to work that you have to put away what you have at the moment. This is a principle of the Bible. I'll show you in a few moments. Nothing just comes into our life, something huge, and then we put away the other stuff. The principle of the Bible, first put away. Abraham, you first go to that land that I'll tell you to go to, and then I'll tell you what's going to happen with it. Amen, church? So it's good where he was to begin with. You have to put something away at first. These people, they are not afraid to leave the good and what they had, or maybe not too bad. These people are waiting something huge in their life. I want to ask you this question again. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Let's read one place out of the Bible. It's 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 7. So, 1 Kings 17, 7. 1 Kings 17, 7. We'll read a story about a widow that was poor. And what's most interesting is that we remember our prophet Elijah, a strong man of God. He said, I command, God told him, I command this widow to feed you. But this widow did not have nothing more than just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. You remember that story? And I'll just refresh the story to you. And I'll give you the principle by which I live, by which we have to take a step into the unseen. We have to leave what does not fulfill you. You have to throw away something that's never going to give you life. Let's read this place. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Watch the story carefully because there's a key for your freedom here. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord our God lives," she replied, "I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home." So, just a few sticks. All she had is a few. All it took is a few sticks for her to prepare all this. "I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, and we may eat it and die." I'll finish this later. All she had left is one little nugget. We'll fry it, eat it, and we'll die. She's saying, "We need to. I just dream that each one of you, I got to these last few sticks and a little bit of oil and a handful of flour. I remember the time where you have nothing, and this handful of flour will never give you anything." In other words, you're going to have a choice in your life, either to throw away what you have, because what you have is not going to give you life, it's not going to continue your destiny, or to stay with this handful of flour, eat it, and finish your life, your destiny. I'm talking to people who are friends with their head, who use their head, in other words. Those people who don't use their head keep on making these biscuits. I dream for all the flour and all the oil to disappear because God is not going to give you a miracle. I don't even know. Do you even understand this principle? What are you holding on to? This widow, she was holding on to the last things in her life that never would have gave any breakthrough in her destiny or for her son. She was holding on to the last. She was saying, "No, prophet, I'll give you water, not a problem. What I have, I'll give you. But what I don't have, or I have very little of, I can't give you because that's my only hope." Let's see what's going to happen next. "As surely as the Lord our God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and son that we may eat and die." Elisha said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." Oh, interesting. Where is she going to make? This is the last biscuit or whatever. For you and yourself, you can make. Afterwards, this speaks about that. This woman needed to make this biscuit, give it to the prophet, and hope on the word of God. And that's it. Amen? Because afterwards, what's after? What, an empty jug and a jar? What's going to feed me? A miracle will feed you. Give for what you hope for. Just throw away these little crumbs Well, this job, that's all I got. This is my last hope. That's your problem. Because that's your last hope. Even though this shouldn't even be your hope. Do you understand me, church? I'm sharing my heart today with you because I'm here for that reason. Because I threw away everything in my life. Delivered all the bank, gave away all the cars, unloaded everything out of my house that wasn't needed, and I just said, God, I don't have anything else besides a couch, a bed, and a fridge. That's it. I don't have anything else. And took the last of the money out of the account. Do you know what I did by doing this? I simply wanted to be sure. I knew that I gave everything away. I knew that I'll be able to live. I'd be able to live from donations. They won't let you die in America. But I wanted to test God and give everything away. Just to throw everything away and say, God, I have nothing else, and I'm going to see what you can do for me. Oh, when God was sure into with my honesty, then not cars, not money, nothing in my house was not my hope. And my something that only after this I had a breakthrough moment. Before this, you can only sit there, you can look at big people and dream about them. But if you don't learn to live principles of big people, you will never be able to take your miracle, because a miracle is always next to risk and death. You hear me? If you want to live like that, then this principle is for you. If you want to just keep eating this little bit of flour and oil for the rest of your life, then that's your choice. But I don't agree to live like that. I wasn't born to this land to exist that way, and people around me will not live like that. You hear me, church? I want to live like the Son of God. That's what this principle is for. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will be used up, and the jug of oil will not run out, will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Tell me, you know, at this time, the time of this drought, this widow lived better than the king and Ahab and Elizabeth, who were after, because after what she did in the world, there might be inflation, there might be destruction in the churches, but not where you are, because where you are, that's a supernatural miracle. And this church, and you in this church, it's a supernatural miracle. And the oil does not run out, and the flour does not run out. Why? Because someone decided to go and take this risky principle, and I'm giving you this secret. In order to live in success and blessings and God's glory, you're going to have to do something risky in your life. And I challenge you, if you want to live in God, you want to live in glory, then you have to throw away everything that you hope for. And only God can show you this, because I don't know where your oil or your flour is. I know what my flour and oil was, and God told me to let go. Some people can't understand where. The bread and the oil does not run out. Do you know what bread and oil symbolizes? The bread is food. And oil is the anointing. So where we're going to be, that's where there's always going to be plenty of food. And the anointing is not going to run out. Even if there's not going to be any of this anywhere. Those people who live by these principles and people who are in this house will always be be eating fresh bread, because this principle of heaven, give the glory to God. I love the principle of the heaven, because this is just my addition. The suckers will not be able to fit in. Well, what kind of words? Yeah, I'm destroying religion. Most important, you understood it? Okay, hallelujah. We need to understand these things. That these suckers, people who always have insurances, if this happens, I'm covered. If this happens here, I'm covered. And everything's taken care of here. Throw away your policy. Throw away all your insurance. I'm talking your spiritual. In the spiritual, destroy your hope for everything, and you'll see who you gotta have your hopes into, and who your power and success is in. Excuse me. It's just blowing me from the power of God. Only free in the head can understand this message. For everybody else, it's like something stuck in a throat. But for free people who dream about freedom, who want freedom, you will take in a secret for yourself, and you'll see that God does what He does. You'll say, "This is my last hope." But I'll tell you, your last hope, it's your worst enemy. Do you know about that, church? You know that your last hope is what's not giving you get into your destiny. Oh, this is my family. This is my service. This is my little job here, over here, little in the corner. Well, then continue sitting at your job, sitting in your little corner, and keep doing nothing. I don't agree. We got to have this type of principle, like one principle says, give me liberty or give me death. Give me freedom or kill me. I'll tell you honestly, people with this spirit can have freedom. Do you know that whole nations were going to die, to war, to death, knowing that this battle will destroy them? Only for them, it's better to die than live in a slavery for these wicked people. I love stories, and when I was like learning the stories of this world, I was just seeing how whole nations were going to die for sure death, knowing that there's not going to be nothing left of them, that their weapons mean nothing, knowing that their numbers of the warriors is 10 times less than who they were going against, but they were going for one reason, because they hated slavery. Us, we chose slavery. Your job that you hate is your chosen slavery that you go to every day. And do not complain to God, because God is not going to hear you. Your family, where the husband is just this is goes towards a woman. Don't even complain to God, because nothing's going to change in your life, because you are not doing nothing about it. Because your spirit is broken and you're hoping that something's going to come in my life. No, stand up and say, this is never going to happen in my life. What keeps people going to a dead church? Stand up and say, I give my God time. If this and this and that doesn't start this year, I'm leaving this church. Where? I'll go nowhere instead of going there. Oh, I'm just taking it easy. If If you don't have a breakthrough in your life, this goes to you. Listen to me. If you don't have a breakthrough in your life, you're drowning in some sphere. You're groaning, you're complaining to God. You have something you're holding on to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the situation. You either didn't have a situation at all, or you're going to have a breakthrough. But then quit whining to God, because this is not God's territory. He gave you this land to own. If you decided to become a slave on your own, it's your choice, and you're gonna reap your own consequences. Is this a little too radical for the service? What you're hanging on to, one more time, proves to Jesus that not He's your God, but whatever it is that you're holding on to. I guarantee you, Holy Spirit is speaking to certain hearts right now. When I was preparing this sermon, it was just covering me in my office. When God gives me the word, I have to live through it myself, and then I have to put it out somehow. And then when you accept it, it's the most dangerous moment. When I put it out, I keep myself in my own hands. When I receive the word, I see people, I see situations, I see moments, I see some kind of a slave-related moments and situations in church, and God says, you chose this path and don't have any hope on me because that's your problem. My beloved ones, would God have blessed this widow if she didn't let go of this last nugget? Would God have blessed her? No, never. Because somebody had to let go of a biscuit. Let go of your biscuit. Let go of whatever's holding you. What's holding you? What are you holding on to? You chose this. Some people say, oh, I hate my job so bad. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like to be there. Lie. You chose this. You go there by your own will. And you just complain when you feel bad, but you're not planning on leaving that place. When a person wants to do something, this is a secret. He does it. If you don't like something, I don't do it. Amen? Do you love to drink gasoline? I know guys will understand me. How many dirt bikes we had to siphon gas into. Remember our motorcycles? As soon as it goes in your mouth, for 3 days, you can smell gas out of your own nose. Guys, understand me. I'm with you. We all been there. And then if you tell me right now, I want some gasoline. No, we don't like it. We put gas in our car, and we like stay away. You know, well, some people will try to sniff it, but be careful. Mostly people, you know, if you make a mess with the gasoline, you clean up and you don't like it. It's unpleasant. If I don't love something, I don't do it. If you do it, that means you love it. On your hands, is there handcuffs on your hands, and is there chains on your ankles? You do what you want to do and quit lying to yourself. Because the way you live, you chose it, you cultivate it, and quit complaining. All you have to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for everything I have. Because everything you have, you chose. If I hate something, I quit it. I speak about it, and I rebuke from this, no matter what it costs me. Because my freedom, spiritual, soul type, it's way more important than everything else and everybody else who wants to keep me enslaved. Amen? If you want to continue living enslaved, that's your choice. Enjoy the ride. You chose it. I want to ask, is this life that you're in? If not, then you must change something. The last biscuit in your hands. Your last hope is your hope and not God's hope. I know people who their whole life hoping for something till until they were old and never received it. Because hope does not deliver you from slavery. A sure step, a sure word, a sure decision. I put together a biscuit out of the last flour and oil, and I give it to someone who I don't even know. I don't even know he's a true prophet at all. Who is this guy who just who says, "I want to eat your last biscuit, and then you'll make it for yourself and your son"? I'm sure a woman had something special going in her head because she needed to give away everything she had hoped for, give him the last biscuit, and then believe that the oil is always going to be pouring out of the jug. Can you imagine during the famine, and she would have said to the prophet, "God does not work that way. God never done that. Where did you see for God to do something like that? Look, Ahab over there. He's all running around hungry with a sword looking for Elisha. Elizabeth is screaming all over the country. And you see all the hungry and poor people. They don't know what to do with themselves. This can't happen." I'm sure she had a lot of things going in her head before she would give away her last biscuit. My beloved ones. She believed the prophet. She lived better than everyone. She had as much as she wanted to the moment until it started to rain. We can live by our own rules in a world that dictates his own rules. We can live in our own dream, in what God gives us. Because I don't care. I never run out. It's always pouring, and I always have with abundance. And I'll have as much as I need. How much do I like this? When the bread never runs out, neither does the oil. I'll tell you right away, when you challenge your destiny, when you leave behind what you had hoped for, no matter what it was, no matter what it is, no matter what sphere it is, you just leave everything. I'm not making anybody, I'm not saying any names, I'm not telling you to do anything. In my sermon, I let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I don't have the right to speak to one of you that you got to quit your job. I don't have the right to say this. I can tell you our principles, but the Holy Spirit will open up to you whether it's your time and your day to get out of the slavery. Even if not here, but somebody on the television, definitely somebody will receive this. Because we're those type of people that we have to learn how to live by this principle. It's a principle of the heaven. Principle that everything exists. But I'm not talking about Abraham and this widow. We have another moment we can look through. And I'll tell you, when you challenge your destiny, when you leave everything that you had hoped for, a supernatural principle turns on or comes into play. It's hard to explain how a person who's not hasn't been baptized the Holy Spirit to explain to them how the Holy Spirit comes. I still can't explain, no matter how many years I've been doing this for. I just tell them pray. And so right now I'm telling you the principle that's impossible to explain. It just has to be taken and be done. And by risking your destiny, by totally having your hope on God, and you'll see how it works. And other way, you'll never see it. And it's going to be hard for me to explain. You understand? Do you understand me? There are things that you have to accept into your life. There's principles that you can't go around. Either you're just going to keep on living poor with everybody else, or you're going to do like the widow did. She just She's whatever happens. Do you know what this? Do you know what this biscuit would have done? It might have gave her one more week of life. How many days would this have added to her? It's funny. It would have gave her a tiny little bit of life and her son, and they still would have died. They would have just extended their death. But my beloved ones, but simply make this step. Make this choice. Challenge yourself and say, I will reach this. You know, Elijah had a good disciple. You know him. This is a disciple that reached more than Elijah himself. His name is Elijah. I'm not going to read because our time is running out. I just want to remind you this moment. Remember when Elijah just took his clothes. There's no miracle. He took the clothes of Elijah. But before he can pick that up, his clothes was ripped apart. This is the same principle. I no longer can walk in my own clothes. I can no longer be in what I've been doing and who I used to be. Now, I got to get into something new. But something new he did not come into in his own clothes. He tore his outer clothes apart. He didn't put it on. He just screamed and came to the river. And he hit the river with it. And the water parted. Only radical people who are not afraid to let go of their past, they can come into their real future. Do you understand me, church? Right now, I'm just telling you this lesson. In order for you to do this, you're going to have to get into a huge discomfort. But you don't have a choice. You just don't have a choice. Either you're going to keep living what you're living in and just simply listen wonderful sermons that don't do nothing for you, or you're going to say, this word is mine. This is for me. I decide to make an exit out of my slavery that I chosen, or you were born into this slavery. They put you into this church. They told you this is the truth. Ask God the question, where is truth? Ask God where life is. Question God where you should be at the end of your life. Question God. When I questioned him, he said, this is definitely not where you're at right now. It's definitely not where you're going. He said, that's your future. That's your path. And when he named me the price was huge. The price was painful. You had to lose everything. Trust me. I'm not sitting here telling you fairy tales right now. You want something big? Get ready to lose everything. You're going to ask me how? Just like that. If you're going to lose everything, then thank God it went past you. But I never want to tell you. It didn't go past me. I don't want to tell you fairy tales. I had to lose everything. Friends, relatives, everything. Why? Because my dream and what God showed me was more important than this swamp that I was living in. Amen, church? This was more important for me than the job that everybody said. People dream to work at this job. Well, keep dreaming. I'm telling you seriously. I worked 9 years as a dental tech, you know, always clean and with a microscope, and you're sitting there cleaning your nails, and your hands are always clean. You're listening to the Bible on the headphones. People dream and to be in this. Well, keep dreaming. My dream is to save souls, to save lives. My dream is to see the salvation of my nation. That's my dream. But my friends can work on the teeth. I have so many friends who do the teeth thing. Dream. Keep dreaming. For whoever, that's a dream, that's a slavery for me. And I needed to throw this slavery away to see my dream. And as soon as I dropped everything because of Jesus Christ, I see till this day how Jesus Christ is changing destinies of people. I see what he's doing. Hallelujah. That clothes that's on you right now will never bring you a breakthrough in your destiny. That clothes. I'm not talking about physical clothes. Right now, I'm talking about what are you dressed in. When people look at you, in you, who do they see in you? You know that back in the day, right now, nobody judges people by clothes. Well, people can say this is work clothes, this is regular clothes, this is beautiful clothes. Back then, clothes was all a person had. It's like right now, in Ukraine, it's like a cell phone. Here you can have 3 cell phones, and you wanna break them all because they get you. Over there, it's like, whoa, yeah. And they have better phones. Cell phone speaks of your status in this society. We don't have this. Everybody hides their cell phones here. And what happens? Before, it was the other way around. Clothes. Back when I was leaving the Soviet Union in 1990, clothes was like what represented you. You always had to have a leather jacket and a good hat and a good boots, leather coats, you know, the right outfit. Everything has to be right, correct. We're all from there. We know. And this clothes had to speak of you. Before, it was the other way. People had one clothes, and they would recognize who's walking by their clothes. When they see a person from far away, and you remember these people who would look for people, they'll say, so-and-so is coming. What, did he give him a phone call? No, he saw his clothes. He saw some person is dressed in certain clothes. This is a prophet. And this speaks of that when Elijah ripped his clothes, he tore apart his personality. Nobody's going to recognize him again. His clothes was taken off, who he would have been recognized by everybody, like a disciple of Elisha. And what happened now? Interesting focus happened. He ripped apart the clothes of the disciples because he became a teacher. Because right now, you're not going to rip your clothes apart until the day, until in your mind something's going to change, until your mind will tell you, I'm no longer this, what I'm dressed in. I am no longer going to keep wearing what I'm wearing because my status in my head is changed 100%. And right now I belong to Him only, and I'm only going to wear His clothes. Right now, we're getting into other things. I'm getting to His clothes, His anointing. And people, how do they notice me? They hear my voice, and they say, I heard your CDs. That's my clothes. And they don't say, your voice, you're good at advertising the Pepsi drink. No, they recognize your voice because we heard you on the radio. We recognize, we don't remember your face, but by the voice, we can recognize who you are. That's my clothes. That's what God gave me. Honestly, I'll tell you, leave your clothes. Because for a long time, you've been a disciple. Pretty soon, you're going to need to become a teacher. You're going to have to receive anointing. And you're going to have to just tear apart your old clothes and just get into something new. But you will never get the new until the old is going to come off your shoulders. Do you understand that principle? I just want you to get to these things and understand these moments. Your sorry slavery, slave type existence will never change until you want to take the sure step, tear apart your clothes, or give away your last biscuit, get out of the Canaan like Abraham did. And then you'll understand what a real blessing is. Do you know what God gave Abraham? His faith into righteousness, because his faith cost him everything. We sitting at home thinking, I believe. No, you don't believe. When you believe, you'll be absolutely changed. I believe. No, you don't believe. You don't even know what faith is. Because my faith cost me everything, every day. Abraham's faith cost him everything. for the rest of his life. This widow, her faith cost her life because she hoped that the flour and oil will not run out. That's the kind of faith goes into righteousness. Everything else, forget about it. It's just a good life, wonderful hope, blessed existence. I don't want that. I want to live by the principles of the heaven. But in order to live by the principles of heaven, you're going to have to take risk. And the risk is going to be connected with life and death. Did you take something in for yourself, church? Give the glory to God. Let's stand up. Let's thank God. With this prayer, I want you to take in these principles inside and say, God, open up to me. If the Holy Spirit did not speak to your heart, I'm sure for some people, this was the word for you. And I want you to ask God when to throw away my old clothes and to get into something new. Just ask God, I give myself to you, and my hope is only in you. Lord, we thank you. Father, we glorify you. We exalt you. We thank you. Let your name be worshiped, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Let the principles of heaven be working in our lives. Let the principles of heaven be working in our destiny. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We worship you. Let your name be exalted through our life. And this widow became popular and known because of her faith. We thank you that we'll be able to get into our calling. We will fulfill what we were born for. We're not going to be holding on to anything. Only holding on to you, our dear Jesus. We're only going to hold on to you. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, let your will be done. Let your will be done, Jesus. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven, let there be happiness and peace. Let there be power and glory in this land, on earth. The same as it is in heaven. Thank you, our favorite. Thank you, my favorite. Hallelujah. Let no one ever be holding on to anything. Let nothing become our hope. Let no one become our hope except you. Except you, Jesus. Except you. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him the glory.